With his life, Jesus taught us how to live. In his death, he taught us how to sacrifice, others first, ourselves last. As Jesus committed his mother into John's care, he commissions us to care for those around us who have nowhere else to turn. Do you know anyone like this? Today, lessons from some of the last words of the dying Savior. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Today we turn to John chapter 19, as John is given the care of Jesus' mother. This would not be the last time Jesus speaks with John.
Years later, Jesus and John are going to meet. Because you remember the story of how on the Isle of Patmos, John is going to receive this revelation, and it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he's going to see Jesus in all of his glory. He's going to see Jesus in his strength and his might. In fact, his face shone like the sun, we read. But now he has the responsibility of taking care of his mother. You know, it's interesting that when the resurrection occurred, the Bible says that Peter and John ran into the tomb and they looked around and John believed. John believed. He finally grasped it. And then it says the disciples went to their own homes. You know what that means? That means that John would have hurried back home and he'd have told Mary that her son was risen from the dead. And so John now has the responsibility, does he not? He has to take into account all that Jesus Christ has asked him to do. Behold your son, behold your mother. And the Bible says, from that time on, this disciple took her into his own home. Now, we've sketched the picture. What I want us to do in our imaginations and in our hearts is to come closer to the cross. Let us stand there. Let us look at the people that are near the cross. Let us take away all of the things that distract us and let us come and stand with those who stood close to Jesus. What does the cross teach us? What does the cross mean to us? And now I'm speaking to you personally. What does the cross mean to you? If we were to speak to John, John would say, to me, the cross is a place of responsibility. Because I was given the responsibility to take care of Mary. Let me ask you a question. If you had been asked to do that, let's suppose that Jesus would have asked you to take care of Mary, would you have done it? You say, of course. If we could have taken care of Mary, we'd have done anything to be able to take care of her. Well, I want you to know today that we have that privilege every single day of our lives. You see, Jesus said, as I am sent into the world, so you also are sent into the world, he said. He makes that statement. And one day, the scripture says, some people were standing around and they were trying to get to him. Specifically, it says in the book of Mark, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. And he said, who are my mother and my brothers? Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here is my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. You know, it's interesting that Jesus was always separating himself, always making sure that people understood that he was the heavenly son, even though these were his earthly relatives. But what Christ is doing is he's opening up the family, and he's saying that the family belongs to all who do the will of God. And so, in a sense, you and I have the responsibility of saying that we have the responsibility one with another, just as John was given the responsibility to take care of Mary. Let me be very specific. There are widows in this church who need some sons to take care of them and to help them. There are women who are single women, single mothers who need surrogate fathers for their children. And Jesus looks at us today and says, the cross is a place of responsibility. The nearer you get to the cross, the more responsibility you have for others. Years ago, I read a story about a man who committed adultery, and then he married the woman with whom he was involved, divorcing his wife. And in his new marriage, he had several children. And later on, when he got cancer and knew that he was going to die, he knew that his second wife could not take care of these children. So he actually asked his first wife if she would be the one that would take responsibility for the children of his second marriage. And she said yes, and she took care of them. And somebody said to her, how can you do that? How can you have that much love? And she said, the love of God is put in our hearts in such a way that we can forgive and we can love and we can sacrifice. It's almost as if you think of the words of Jesus on the cross saying, woman, woman, behold thy children. And then to the children, children, behold thy mother. The cross, my friend, today is a place of responsibility. Who else was there at the cross? Well, I mentioned it earlier. You'll notice it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister. That would be Salome, who was the mother of James and John. If you went up to her and said, what is the cross to you? She'd say, the cross to me is a place of rebuke. Remember, she's the one who came to Jesus and said, is it possible for my sons, she said, to sit in your kingdom, one on the right hand and the other on the left? It was the cry of a mother, but it was a selfish prayer, actually. And now she's there at the cross and she sees the suffering of Jesus Christ and she is rebuked in her spirit. How silly to think of things like that. How she misunderstood that you do not get to go to the crown until you have seen the cross. And she's thinking of what Jesus was willing to endure and his love for her. And she's saying to herself, how foolish I was to request special places in the kingdom. I want you to know today that the cross of Jesus Christ rebukes all wrong values. The cross of Jesus Christ comes to us in our need and it destroys all of the ladder climbing and all of the desires of self-exaltation. When we stand before the cross, we tremble and we say, in light of what Jesus has done, why is it that the self-exaltation to me becomes so important? It can't happen if you see the cross. In many different countries, they have festivals in quasi-Christian places. And in Brazil, when they were having a festival like that, there was a sign that said, cheap crosses for sale. You know, these little trinkets that you buy. Cheap crosses for sale. All of us want a cheap cross. We want to come before the cross and we want to receive forgiveness and then we want to live our lives our own way. But the cross, properly understood, will not allow us to do that. It rebukes us. It humbles us. It reminds us of our great need. So if we came to Salome, she would say that the cross was a place of rebuke. Who else is at the cross? Well, notice it there. Mary Magdalene. Mary, what is the cross to you? To me, it is a place of redemption. She's the one who had seven demons. We don't know what these demons were, but at some point in her life, she was infested by this evil that came upon her, these evil personalities that lived within her. And now she is there near the cross, and she recognizes that the one who is dying there on the cross is the one who delivered her. And there are some of you here today who need redemption. You've come today, and you may have come to this church for many different reasons, but in your heart of hearts, you know that you're struggling with evil, and you need someone to be able to speak the word and bring deliverance to your soul. And Mary Magdalene would say, this is my Redeemer. He's the one who delivered me from evil. For all of us, the cross is a place of responsibility. It's a place of rebuke. It's a place of redemption as we come there. And so I want you to notice that. What about the other people that were at the cross? Well, for some people, it was a place of ridicule. You have the people looking at the face of Jesus and taunting him and saying to him, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. And so for them it was a place of ridicule. What were the soldiers doing? It says in verse 23, when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with his undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture would be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So if you ask the question, what were the soldiers doing to them? Indeed, it was a place of ridicule. It was a place of relaxation. It was a place in which they just simply ignored the cross. And some of you may fit into that category. Some of you may be here today, and the cross to you is an interesting event. It's an event that may even bring you some joy, and it's an event that you might actually admire, but in your heart of hearts, you have never responded to Jesus Christ. You've never received his redemption. And so I challenge you today to come near the cross. We sing so glibly, don't we? Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. Let us stand there and let the cross speak to us as a place of responsibility, redemption, and rebuke. And so, who are you here at the cross? Are you a John? Are you a Mary? Are you a Salome? Are you a Mary Magdalene? No wonder Bonhoeffer said, it is not before us, but before the cross that the world trembles. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Would you agree with me that our world is too rushed, too hurried? This is Pastor Lutzer. I think that many of us simply do not take the time that we should to contemplate the cross, to stand near it in our imagination, but more importantly, to stand near it in terms of what the Scripture tells us happened there. To come close to Jesus, to understand his suffering, but also to ask ourselves the question, how far would we be from the cross if we'd been there? Would we have had the courage to be identified with Christ? John apparently was, even though initially all the disciples fled. The other disciples, they were far away. You see the courage of a Mary Magdalene. You see the courage of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So let us ask ourselves in our businesses and in our work, the people with whom we live, our relatives, among them, are we willing to be close to the cross and to let people know that we are standing there in a day in which the cross is evil spoken of? This challenge comes from my heart to yours. Let us be able to say in sincerity, yes, Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluded A Cry of Compassion, another in his series on Cries from the Cross, a journey into the heart of Jesus. Tomorrow, we study the depths of Jesus' words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Cries from the Cross can be yours as a challenging book by Dr. Lutzer. We'll send it as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.